are listening to some of the students in the Juno Strings Ensemble from the Aurora Strings Group. Gunesh Cheesh for being here with us today. This is Juno Afternoon, and I'm Rhonda McBride. Let's listen a little more and come back and hear the story behind how these students will soon be on the stage at Carnegie Hall. Boy, that was lovely, and we're going to hear a little more. That was Carice Hudson playing first cello and Elizabeth Jaja Lee on first violin, two of the members of the group, and we're going to hear a little more for them. But we have two other members with us, and I thought I'd like to go around the room and have them introduce themselves, tell us how long they've played and what part they play in the orchestra. So I'm going to begin with you, Alex. And also maybe just play a little so we can hear what you sound like.
Hello, my name is Alex Yu, or Alexander Yu, and I'm the concertmaster of the Juno String Ensemble. And I've been playing for 14 years, since I was four, and I started with Mr. Shaw.
So let's hear a little. Beautiful. Wow. You can tell you've been playing since you were 4 years old. I'm sure there are a lot of hours of practice there. So let's go to Tobin Montalbo, who is on first cello. Tell us a little bit about yourself and let us hear what you've accomplished.
Hi, I'm Tobin Montalbo. I've been playing for about 8 years. I started in sixth grade. I really like working with the group, and it's been probably the best thing in my entire music career has been getting selected to go to Carnegie, so I'm super excited.
And we'll hear more about that in a moment. I want to go to Elizabeth Jaja Lee, who is the first violinist. Tell us a little bit about how long you've been playing.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Jaja Lee, and I've been playing violin for 12 years, also since I was four. And yeah, it's a great honor to be going to Carnegie Hall. It's amazing.
I can hear the excitement in your voices about this. That's beautiful. So I want to go next to Carice Hudson. She's the first cello player. So we have two cello players in this room.
Hi, I'm Carice Hudson, and I've been playing cello for about 6 years. I started in third grade, and I joined Shaw's music group in about, I think, sixth grade. And here's a snippet.
You know, and we missed Tobin. Forgot to ask him to play. So, Tobin, let's hear a little bit from you. Well, we will talk about Carnegie in a moment, but I'm just curious because the Juno Jazz and Classics Festival comes to this town, and of course they go to the schools and everything, and of course the head of the now the artistic director for Juno Jazz and Classics is one of the most world known cello players, Zool Bailey. So, Tobin, what's that like to be in a community where you can have access to people like him?
It's super cool. Just having the Jack right there downtown and Centennial Hall and all the things that they host, like Folk Fest, being in a community like Juneau where music is so important really makes it a lot easier and a lot more exciting to grow up also playing music, because you get to see these great players are really all the way around to inspire you. So I really enjoy growing up here and playing music here.
So how about you, Karis? Did some of the music from this past festival inspire you?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I got to play with the Ariana String Quartet, and the cellist in that group, he mentored me and he helped me, like, learn more things about my cello and how to play better. Like, it's great. Juno has one of the best music communities I've seen.
You know, and I had heard that the Ariana String Quartet, besides perform, that they teach. And one of the people who was observing one of the workshops said they were amazed at the kind of things that were talked about, like how you physically move with your instrument when you perform and the shape of the music. Can any of you explain a little bit about what that workshop was all about?
Yeah, they did talk a lot about the shape of the music, which is like, as you move, how you are going to, like, visualize the music. Like, is it round or is it sharp, or just, like, as you move with your bow, you have to move it up and down, like, the string, and just have great posture. They're always also talking about posture, like how to open your body up to play the music and not scrunch it up.
So are you going to take... Are you going to take some of these lessons with you to Carnegie? Do you think that the timing of this workshop was good?
Yeah, definitely. That'd be really good.
Well, I want to go to you, Elizabeth, the first violinist for the Aurora Strings. How did you guys get to the point that you were invited to come to play to Carnegie? Did you have to earn that opportunity somehow?
Yeah, so a lot of us have been playing with this group for a really long time, for about at least a couple years, and then we did an audition process during the pandemic, where we sent in pieces, and we were one of only four groups chosen around the globe to play at Carnegie Hall, so we're all really proud of that.
Oh my goodness. So what does that mean, Tobin, for a group from such a small community? What does that say?
I mean, it's a pretty crazy experience. Carnegie Hall is probably the most famous music hall in all of North America. So being from a town like Juneau of just 30,000 people, going down to New York and playing at this huge music hall is a super big honor. And we just want to carry what we've learned here and really show off that smaller towns have great musicians too. And it's super exciting.
But and Juneau is not just any small town, given the music culture here. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about your director, Mr. Shaw, and I'm afraid to try to pronounce his name, so I hope one of you can do that for me. You know, I have seen him for years when the strings group was performing at various events, like at the Governor's Mansion at Christmas, and you can just see him throw his whole body, speaking of whole body experiences in music, I mean, every bit of energy and intention was funneled at getting the most out of the students. So, Alex, since you're kind of the concert master, you know, what's your impression of Mr. Shaw? Tell us a little bit about him.
So Mr. Shaw is well-known in the music community because of what he's done and all he's done for us, and he's very passionate about his students and about the performance, and he'll schedule multiple performances for us so we can show off to the community.
Yeah, Mr. Shaw is like one of the most patient people. Alex and I have been studying with him for over 10 years, and we've never seen him get angry. And he's just, and everything he does with us is always just so energetic and so lively, and he schedules everything for us, and he puts in so much time for his students.
So give me his first name, because I think I see that on a page, and I'm afraid to say it.
Yeah, for sure. His first name is Guahua.
Guahua.
Yeah, Guahua Shaw.
And what's his story?
So Mr. Shaw, he studied in the Shanghai Conservatory, which is one of the most, probably the most prestigious in like all of China. And then he came here and he's been teaching in Juneau's small town community for over 25 years. And now he teaches us, so this is great.
So would any of you care to talk about some of the lessons you've learned from being around Mr. Shaw?
Being around Shaw, I mean, he makes me excited for practice every single time that we have it. He, you can just really tell how much he loves music. He tunes all our instruments by ear. He is super passionate, probably the most passionate player that I've ever seen. And it is super inspiring. So he makes me want to be a better player, and he's the kind of conductor that makes me want to go out and practice more and become as good as I possibly can. And then going to New York with him is going to be so amazing because I'm so happy that he gets to be up there too with us and just share that whole experience with us.
I imagine that he must be excited, that this must be a dream come true, because is this the first Juno ensemble strings group to go to Carnegie?
Yeah, it was the first Juno string ensemble time for going to Carnegie Hall, but I think his groups have been to other places before.
Yeah, his groups have gone to Shanghai, gone to play the Great Wall, yeah.
So when this idea was hatched that the Juno Strings Ensemble would be going to Carnegie or would attempt this, what was his attitude about this? Did he say, I'm not so sure we can do this, or was he all in?
Shaw is definitely all in. He's been all in since the beginning, and I think that during COVID there was a lot of worry about whether this would happen or not, but I don't think he ever lost faith, and that really helped us all stay motivated too. So we kept practicing and we kept performing, and now we're here and it's confirmed and we leave very soon and it's super exciting.
So Alex, tell us a little bit about your role as concert master. What does that involve?
So as concert master, I lead the group. I'm basically the second conductor, and I would help lead the section, cue them in, do the things that Mr. Shaw or the conductor wouldn't do, but I'm like the backup person.
You're the backup. So what have you learned from Mr. Shaw about leadership?
Listening in and knowing about everything, knowing about what is going on in the orchestra, and yeah.
So he's super tuned in to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we'll talk a little bit more about how you guys got to Carnegie. You know, beyond the competition, there's much more involved. But first, Karis and Elizabeth, would you play us a little more and tell us what you're going to play for us?
Yeah, so we'll be playing the second half of Air from Suite in D by Johann Sebastian Bach.
And so you performed this together somewhere else, correct?
Yeah, so we actually played a different piece called Passacaglia by Handel Halvorsen at the Great Alaska Talent Show earlier this in March. So, Karis.
Yeah, that was a great opportunity. We got to play. We were the only people from Juno playing with going against a bunch of people from Anchorage. And although we didn't win, it was a great opportunity to play.
I think every chance you get to play and perform makes you stronger, doesn't it? It
yeah,
steals
sure.
you for the next experience. Okay, well, let's listen. I'm excited to hear.
Thank you.
That was absolutely beautiful. What a treat to sit here in the Carolyn Hobbs Peterson Studio 2K of KTOO. Carolyn Hobbs Peterson is who the studio was named for, and I think she's on the wall behind us there, and I'm sure she would have been delighted to hear this beautiful music. You know, I'm sure that you guys have had to practice a lot to do this, but there have been many other people involved in getting you to Carnegie. Tobin, can you talk about the fundraising efforts? Because you know, how many people are in the orchestra and how do you raise money for travel for that?
So, yeah, New York is a long way away. So fundraising got kind of squashed a little bit because of COVID. Normally we do a lot more concerts where you'd buy tickets, and that's a really great way for us to get profits. But because of COVID, it was harder to do that. So everyone took a lot more individual responsibility for fundraising. I know that me and my mom went around to a bunch of different businesses downtown and got money from them, and they sponsored us, and they're on the back of our T-shirts that we'll be wearing in one of our two performances down in New York. We also talked to probably 50 family friends, and the great thing about Juno, again, is that everyone is so supportive. So the vast majority of people we talked to were completely willing to donate from anywhere to 20 to 100 or more. And it was just great seeing how excited people were for us to be able to go there. And knowing that all these people helped us get to Carnegie is really motivating to just make it the best performance of our entire lives.
Thank you, Tobin. Karis, any thoughts on that?
Definitely what Tobin was saying, like, almost all of us contacted as many family, friends, and just people in the community, and all of them were willing to help out, especially, like, we had this online-funded thing on Facebook where people would donate, like, as much as, $200 or $500. I know one person got donated $1,000 from someone in the community, which is amazing.
So any idea how much total was raised, any kind of a ballpark number of how much you needed to raise?
I know that each person getting there was about $3,000 or $4,000 because there was obviously airfare and hotels. The group got a discount for hotels in Manhattan, which was great because it's for the whole performance, all the groups did. But then there's also the individual fee for each person and chaperone that was going. So things added up quickly, and having the support of the whole community made it a lot nicer and easier to get there.
So when you're 40 or 50 years old and you have kids of your own, what are you going to tell them about this experience?
I'm going to be able to tell my kids that I've played at Carnegie Hall, and I want to take them there and show them that I've been on that stage and that we all have, and that it was the coolest experience of my life, or probably one of them.
I imagine that Alex, this is going to be a life-changing experience for you, given that you've been playing since you were 4 years old.
Definitely, because it is a hall that is greatly talked about, where if you mention the name to any Carnegie Hall to any musician, they'll instantly know where and what that place has become.
So, Karis, how about you? What are you going to remember from this, you think, or how is this affecting your life so far?
Well, this is definitely one of the greatest experiences I will have had. Like, to be able to play cello in the same place as Yo-Yo Ma and some of the greatest musicians ever lived, it's incredible. And I'll get to tell everyone, my kids, my family, whoever, like, that this is one of the greatest experiences I've had.
And how about you, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I think us going to Carnegie Hall just shows that all that practice, all that hard work, it always pays off. And then, you know, practice makes perfect. But and then how do you get to Carnegie Hall? It's always like practice, work together, listen to each other. And, you know, we made it. So.
How many hours a day have you been practicing to get ready for this?
Me personally, probably at least an hour or two. It's a lot.
How about you, Alex?
We have a full group rehearsal every Sunday for 2 hours. But individually, I would practice around 1 to 2 hours a day.
So there's a lot of hard work going into this, and you're juggling your schoolwork and all that other stuff in the mix. So Alex, as concertmaster, what are some of the challenges that the group is going to have with some of the pieces of music?
Some challenges are the younger players in our group. Some of the pieces are quite the reach for them, but since we've been practicing the same music for a long time, it should be in their muscle memory, and they should be able to play it.
So, Tobin, I mean, you probably have encountered that often, that you start off with a piece of music that seems way out of reach, and you think, oh, my God, I'll never be able to play that. What's it like when you reach the point that you can play that piece of music?
It's definitely very satisfying being able to show up to practice and then and have concerts that consistently sound good. And we're just every single concert we've had over the past year has been getting better. And like Alex said, we had to bring up some of the younger kids from the smaller groups to make sure that we had enough people to actually play, because there is a minimum size requirement. But they've all really stepped up, and everyone is capable of playing all the music that we have. So I'm super confident in this group, and we've all come together really well to be able to play the songs very well.
So, Elizabeth, tell us about some of the pieces of music you're working on to perform.
Yeah, so some of our pieces, we have a range of pieces from Haydn or to Hoedown, and then rhythm dances. So we have like a variety. We have some fast pieces, some slow pieces, and we always pick the pieces that we think our audience will connect with. And then we think that applies whether here in our community or in New York City.
So, Karis, do you have any favorite pieces?
I definitely say Rhythm Dances by... I'm not sure who it is by, and then Hoedown by Copeland, which is a great... Everyone gets into it, and they're, like, very lively because it's really fast, so I'm, like, tapping my foot and, like, humming along. So.
Oh, that is so lovely. And I tell you what is... Minta Montalbo is here sitting in the room, and I would just like to ask her, I'm going to ask you to play one more song to play us out, but would you take some photographs of this group so that I can post them on the web when I post the audio from this interview? I forgot to bring my cell phone here into the studio, and I usually try to grab a few pictures of our guests here. So thank you very much, Minta, and also for wrangling this group here, although they didn't need much wrangling. So tell us what you're going to play for us going out.
We'll be playing Jupiter from the Planets by Holst.
Okay, and I just once again want to go through everyone who is here today. Alex Yu, who is a concert master, a first violinist, and Tobin Montalbo, first cello. And we also have Karis Hudson, who is on cello, and Elizabeth Jajali, first violin.